I know, I don't believe that at all.
Good afternoon. This is Oral Fitzsimmons, the chief organizer here in Texas for Local 100. We're coming from Houston, deep in the heart of Texas. With us today, we have
LaShawn
and
Ralph.
What was that game name again?
Ralph.
Ralph. They're both HISD food service workers at Sharpstown High School. This high school was just built this year, and it's brand new. Let's get started with the conversation by talking about why you became a member of Local 100 and how being a member has affected your life. Why'd you become?
I became a Local 100 member because I was referred to it from one of the employees at Sharpstown.
In Sharpstown.
And I heard that it was a good organization to join.
Oh, okay.
And if you have any issues, they step in and they kind of help you out. So that's why I decided to become a member.
It's kind of like being in a family. Now, Ralph, how come you joined? Just because everybody else did?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you know, with unity comes power.
Yeah, unity comes power,
right.
Yes.
Have either one of y'all ever been in a union before?
I've been in a, you know, not in a food service, you know, just a regular union.
But where?
It was a federal credit union.
Federal credit union. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been in a union?
I've been in a federal credit union as well.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Let's now, y'all just joined recently.
Yeah.
When we came out here to visit, the last time I was out here, I think there's some other people been out here since then. But so have we made any changes yet that have helped anything? Or are we working on some issues for you?
We're working on some issues because I just joined and it's still new to me, so I'm still trying to learn it.
Well, have you had any trouble with any of the management people here?
Yes, I have.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, when I first started out, I had never worked in a cafeteria before, food service, so it was all new to me. I didn't really know anything, and I learned a lot working with working in the cafeteria with so many different women, personalities, management. It's really, really tough to work in a hostile environment. It makes it hard to work. So sometimes, even if you report it, nothing happens.
A lot of nitpicking going on?
A lot of nitpicking.
Well, weren't you glad to see Ralph show up?
Well, yeah. I mean, some testosterone kind of breaks up the tension sometimes, but it doesn't really. I mean, it was awesome seeing Ralph because where I came from, it was all women.
Yeah.
And when you see men, it's like, okay, maybe it's not so bad. But
well, you know, one of our aims at Local 100 is to create a good work environment. When you have a good work environment, you do better work.
Yeah.
You feel better about your work when you get off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that has to do with the supervisor and the way he or she runs the show. And our belief is that everyone should be fair. Everyone should also show up on time every day and be here and don't be late. But when we give you ourselves, then you have to treat us like decent human beings.
Right.
And if there is a conflict between two workers, you should hear it out and try to make a wise and reasonable solution to whatever the problem is. And that will make the workplace a lot better for everybody. Now, if there's one thing, and this is a question for both of y'all, if there's one thing that you could change here at work to make it a better place to come every day, what would it be? Now, let's get Ralph the first chance on this one.
Hmm. What could I change? The supervisor.
Speak up a little bit so we can all hear. You change the supervisor.
Change the supervisor and maybe, she, you know.
Well, tell us about how she treats you.
And everything would be perfect.
So how does she treat you that makes you uncomfortable with her management style?
Which most supervisors, you know, that's part of the job. That's part of the job. They have to be on you. They have to make sure you're doing your job. And I understand that. But sometimes it's a little too much far as just all over your back, watching your back, watching your every move, small little things that might happen. She has a, you know, big problem with it. The other manager that I had, she was hard too. She was hard, but she wasn't all on your back all day long. And we got our work done and we pretty much finished.
Does this manager at Sharpstown treat different people different ways? You treat everybody this way?
No, she treats people different ways.
Well, that
each one different ways.
That creates some problems.
And so now it's a division. It's a division, and I'll just be real with it. It's a racial type.
Well, we have workers that are black here, and we have workers that are Hispanic. Yes. Now, the food service manager is black, right?
African-American,
right?
African-American.
Mm-hmm. And but
let me correct. Yeah, African-American, but her nationality is
she's Nigerian.
Nigerian. Okay. Well, that probably has something an effect on everything.
Yes.
Exactly.
We at Local 100 like to bring the people together and work together to produce a good product for the children, and that is good food, courteous service, being on time, and getting the food out every day. Now, I always like to ask managers, well, has anyone starved to death here? Because, you know, the bottom line here is feeding the children good food. Mm-hmm. Has anyone starved to death?
Mm-mm.
And if that's not the case, if no one's starved, then, you know, why are we harassing everybody? And, you know, now, mess with me if I don't come to work every day, because I know you need me. Mess with me about that.
Yeah.
If I'm here late, even though parking's a problem around
that's right.
You know, then get on me.
You
know, I'm here as a team. I'm giving you everything I got. I may make a mistake. Correct me politely, and then I won't make that mistake again.
Right.
So, you know, it's all about how people are treated, and it seems like in this school they're being treated differently. So, LaShonda, what's the one thing that you would change other than the management? We already know we need change in management.
I feel the same way. I'm with the management. That would be my main thing. If we had different management, different supervisor, the work would be smooth. We work too hard to be harassed while we work, and we work too hard to work in a hostile environment. We work too hard to walk in the door and don't want to be at work. Sometimes I feel like we're being treated as slaves. Nobody wants to work like that.
Slavery went out in 1864.
That's right. Exactly, and we are very racially divided, and I came from another school. I started out at another school, and I went through the exact same thing there. It was racially divided there. I had a problem with the supervisor. It was favoritism with the employees.
Right.
I got sent to another school because I didn't have anybody to speak for me on my behalf with everything that happened to me at this other school. So I got sent here, and the situation is worse than where I came from.
Well, it really doesn't have to be this way. And the management, not just the food service manager at the school, but it seems like sometimes the area supervisors also put up with it. Well, no matter what the manager does, they back her up.
That's right.
And
it's not fair.
And it's what we also need to try to bring some harmony to the thing. And if it's not going to be the manager doing it, then we need to reach out to the other employees and try to come up with some solution to where we can work together. If the management's not going to do it, it's up to the employees. And if we can do that, then it'll make the environment better, and maybe we can request a new manager here that will not be favoritism. But in your case, the other place you was at was the same way.
Why
does it have to be this way, you know?
It was worse, and we also have employees like the one that left. You have so many employees that won't get involved because they're scared of what's going to happen. In that case, if it's just me and Ralph talking, then what leg do we have to stand on if something is wrong?
Well, you know, in this very room we're in today, we're having a meeting on Friday with all the custodial women.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a meeting with the principal about some of these issues, when we have the custodians there, when we have the kitchen, a lot of the kitchen ladies there and men. So we show unity, and we were expecting to sign up five of those custodians on Friday. And we have one woman in the crew that is Sarah, who used to be in another union, so she knows all about unions. Yes?
Now, can I say something about that?
Yeah.
When you go into the custodian part, now you say we all want unity. Guess what? There's no unity between the kitchen and the custodian.
Well, we'd like to fix that, too. And I think we're going to do that. And what we're going to do is we have a good leader in the custodial crew. And when we sit down and talk to her on Friday, we're going to mention that and say that, you know, those days are over with. Excuse my cough.
It's okay.
We know we have problems with supervisors. Does everyone in the kitchen work 7 hours or some 6-hour people?
Some work 8, right? Or work 7.
What, they come in at
7.
Some come in a little bit late, so they might work only 6.5?
Right. Well, I come in at 8.
Okay.
And then there's some that come in an hour before me at 7.
So you're only getting 6 hours a day?
I'm getting 6.
Well, see, in our position is you should get 8. So right. In your case, right. If you got 8 instead of 6, you'd be making $4,000 more a year. Mm-hmm. So now that, in our view is that when there's that much money on the table, then we could, people like you need to be down that school board meeting. Now, the good thing about you, you get off around 2:30. School board doesn't even meet till 5. Now, there's a procedure you have to go through to get on the list to speak, but I'll do that for you. And you can get down there and talk to them and ask them the very simple question. You know, everyone in the building works 8 hours except me. How come is that? And some of us only work 6 hours a day. So, you know, that's what we're going to, when you stand up and get in the glare of the TV lights or the glare of the radio, it makes a difference. Now, so we're going to be asking, one of the custodians here said she'd be glad to go to other schools and talk to workers before she comes to work here because she works in the afternoon with us. So we're going to be doing that. Now, I know it's hard for y'all to do that because you come in the morning and don't get off to 2:30, but there are some members that are going to be doing that. I know what we need to do here, and that is try to do something about the supervisors. So if we were able to get 8 hours a day, in your case, Lashana, what would you do with that extra $2,000 every year?
I would definitely pay bills off, extra for my kids.
How many kids you got?
I have two. I have a 16-year-old and a 7-year-old. And the 16-year-old was almost headed to college.
Yeah, where is he thinking about going?
LSU.
The Tigers. Mm-hmm. That used to be my college when I was an elementary school kid because I lived in Louisiana. The year that I was in the fifth grade, Billy Cannon won the Heisman Trophy. He's supposed to come to our big old football banquet. For some reason, he didn't make it. Mm-hmm. I've held that against him all these years. But so he's going to go to LSU. That's a good school. Mm-hmm. Of course, hopefully he's got some relatives or something in Louisiana because he had to pay out-of-state tuition to go to LSU.
All of my relatives are in Louisiana.
Well, there you go.
That would help me with her.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Do you know what she's going to be studying, you think?
She wants to study psychology.
Well, good.
And she writes every day, every minute. If we're sitting here talking, she writes these really dramatic stories.
And Ralph,
read them.
Do you have any children?
I have no kids.
Okay,
no
well, kids we can't all. Talk to you about them. You got any nieces and nephews or anything?
Yeah.
There you go, that counts.
Yeah, nieces.
How many of them you got?
About two or three.
Two or three?
Not many.
Well, I had four nieces, so for a long time I was Uncle Oral, and I got to learn how to be around kids a little bit, and that helped from when I finally had two of my own. Mm-hmm. It was a learning process. So I have a question for both of y'all. In the summertime here in Texas, and in most states, you don't work in the summertime because the school's out.
Right. Yeah.
So that's about 2.5 months where you're unemployed.
About three,
in some states, they say that when you're unemployed, you have a right to unemployment benefits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, here in Texas, guess what?
You don't.
They don't. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think that is?
I wonder why.
Well, let me tell you the story. In 1974, they passed a law here in Texas saying you couldn't get it. Now, they put two other people in that same category. Professional athletes making millions of dollars every year, and my favorite, ballerinas. Now, why is a food service worker or a custodian or a teacher aide in the same category as a ballerina and a football or baseball player? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
It does save a lot of money for the school district, though. But we think the definition of unemployment is when you're not working, you're unemployed, and you should be getting unemployment benefits. So what do you do in the summer, Ralph?
What I do in the summer?
Yeah.
I'm actually a musician. I play.
What do you play?
I play keyboards.
All right. What kind of music?
Everything.
Blues?
Everything. Doesn't matter.
Rock and roll?
Everything.
Religious and gospel?
I play for a church.
Amen. What, you play on Sunday?
Yeah, I play on Sundays, yes.
So you do the organ too, I guess?
Organ, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm a big fan of music. I mentioned the blues because I go quite often to the Jazz and Heritage Festival in New Orleans, and they have a lot of blues there and a lot of jazz and a lot of big people. I saw Elton John there a couple of years ago, and I seen Willie Nelson there and Bob Dylan, all kinds of people. That's a wonderful place. I encourage anyone listen to this story today is to, you know, get on down to New Orleans. They have it 2 weekends in a row, usually the last weekend in April and the first weekend in May. I love music. So, so you, in the summertime, you might spend a little time.
Yeah, that's you know, when I first started working here, my music money was practically out making more than what I was doing here. Much. So I was like, man, well, I'm making more. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not paying enough. This was just a side thing,
right,
for me. But now it's kind of going flip, kind of, you know. So like even when during the summertime, I had to try to figure out, like you say, how I'm gonna make some money during the summer. But luckily, you know, I play my music. I play on weekends. I play on Fridays and Saturdays, and then I play at my church on Sunday. So that helps money coming in. You know, I do it a lot. You know, I've been doing that.
Well, I had a friend here in Houston used to sit around and play the guitar a lot. He was a fairly famous fella. His name was Lightnin' Hopkins. You ever heard of him? He's one of the great blues players of all time, and he was actually from here in Houston, so I got to know him pretty well. Did you tell us what you did during the summertime when you're not working?
Well, during the summertime, I basically, I try to make ends meet. Like, I don't work.
Well, do you get another job or something during the summertime if you can?
No, I didn't get another job. I spent more time with the kids. I mean, it was tight for us, but it worked out. But it's very hard during the summer. I can't lie.
So one thing I've never realized, and maybe y'all can explain it to me, this school district is supposed to be here educating children to help them get a better life. Mm-hmm. But we also know from the studies from Harvard and Columbia University that people that grow up with their parents making low wages and hardly anything at all have a harder time in school than kids that are in middle income or high income people.
Right.
So why would the district offer 2,000 people to work for poverty wages when they know a lot of those same people have children they're raising?
Right.
So it's not good for the children to be in poverty. It's not good for you to be in poverty. But, you know, you would think they would at least care about the children.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't seem to.
Mm-mm.
Because, now, it used to be people, you know, back in the old days, they would say, well, these women just working part-time, you know, they got husbands. Well, you know, things have changed. They also used to say, well, we've got to get the kids off in the summertime because they got to help the dad, you know, bring in the crops. Well, guess what? We don't live on farms anymore. And guess what? A lot of the husbands, they're not there anymore either.
No.
Right.
Things change, and it doesn't seem like the school district's changing with the times.
No, it's not changing with the times.
And one of the things we need to change the most is getting 8 hours a day,
because
you have a chance, in your case, $4,000 more a year, Ralph, and $2,000 more for you. And it just makes sense. So we're not asking them for $15, $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking for another 186 hours a year. That's something they can do if they want to.
Right.
Fortunately, this department is 99% women.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we have 6 women, I believe, on the school board right now. We could go to them like we did when we increased the minimum wage and got y'all salary up to $12 an hour. It used to be a lot less than that, didn't it? $10.60 or something for your time.
Yeah.
So,
and let me ask you a question. Since you said that most schools hire women, or most workers are women, but then when you turn around and you go to a restaurant or any high-class restaurant, most chefs are men.
You're right about that.
And they get paid. They get paid pretty good.
Paid good, pretty good money.
So that's, you know, I'm trying to figure out how do you put that, because you got most chefs are men.
Well, what the district's doing is trying to get employees for cheap, and force their children to live in poverty, and we just think that's an incredibly cruel thing to do, and you know, it's been going on for over 100 years. It's been going on since the school started. So we're raising our hand and politely saying it needs to stop.
So now, when you say live in poverty, what do you mean for us?
Well, when you're making only $15,000 a year, that's the definition of poverty.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's what, when you do the math, if you work 6 hours a day or 7 hours a day, when you have to, live on those wages, that you're living below the poverty line. And our aim and our life here in the next few years is to to get you out of that situation. So, LaShonda, before you have to leave, where are you from initially, Louisiana?
I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there'll be all kinds of people hearing you from New Orleans. Do a shout-out to all your family.
I'm shouting out my whole family in New Orleans.
Well, let's name them. Come on. Let's name them.
The Carrollton area, the downtown New Orleans, the West Bank, the East Bank.
Well, when this broadcast in New Orleans, we're going to have to call them up and tell them to be listening. We didn't know we had a New Orleans person here. And where are you from, Ralph?
I'm actually from Louisiana also.
Oh, great.
Yeah, from Louisiana. I was born in Plaquemine, Louisiana.
And where is that?
That's about 14 miles out of Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
All right. Mm-hmm. East, west, north, south?
What's that?
It might be east. No, it might be west.
Has to be one of the two.
One or
north. Yeah, say it like if you... If you go in Baton Rouge.
I even have family in Plaquemines.
Well, you know, I was raised 6 years in Bossier City up north in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Went there for 6 years, so I know a little bit about what it's like living in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that those New Orleans people know y'all now over here in Houston. You didn't leave because of the flood over there, did you?
I did.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. How about you?
No, I've been here for
a long time.
Yeah.
Well, that flood was bad, and you got here, and we had a bad one last year here, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey and Katrina were both terrible storms.
Well, the impact didn't affect me through Harvey, just Katrina.
Well, thank goodness.
I'm thankful that, yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for the people that it impacted, but I didn't, because I can relate. I went through the same thing.
Well, is there one thing that you want to say about Donald Trump that you can say in public?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Where do you start, huh? Well, let's start.
Where do you start? I mean... I don't like the fact that he's trying to take away from, the benefits of single mothers, mothers that's not making a lot of money. I mean, some people, you have disabled, some people that really need help.
And he's also trying to do away with Obamacare.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't agree with that either.
So and of course,
I'm not a fan of Trump.
He looked, well, surprise, surprise. Well, Ralph, what do you think about the Donald?
Not a fan.
Try not
all.
To think about him much.
No, I'm not a fan of him.
Well, you know, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I wasn't raised the way he was. LaShonda, it's nice having you here today.
Thank
Sorry
you
had to leave,
so
but
thank you
we'll let
much.
You know when it's on the air.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Seven more minutes. Mm-hmm.
So. You got to say something a little bit more about Mr. Trump.
About Mr. Trump?
Yeah, what kind of
Mr. Trump?
Sticks in your craw, you know? What's...
Well, he is a snake.
Okay. That's number one, a snake.
He's a snake. I mean, you want me to get deep, real deep?
You say anything you want and get as deep as you want.
If Satan was... The devil was sitting at a table. He could sit right next to him. He'd be his right hand man.
Well, you know, he's 71 or so years old now. He's been working at it a long time. I do recall back when he was a young man, him and his daddy had a real estate company in New York City. Mm-hmm. And a person would come in, a black person come in and want to rent an apartment from him. He says, "Well, you know, we'd like to rent you one, but hey, we're full. Come back some other time."
Mm-hmm.
Then right after him, a white person would walk in. Mm-hmm. He says, "Well, we got three or four. Which one do you want?" Now, that was discrimination. Now, they took him to court, and the federal government convicted him of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He ain't changed a bit since then. He's always been that way.
Always
and
been
he
that
always
way.
Will.
Always will.
So what do you think you're willing to do to help us at the local to maybe possibly get rid of him? Could you work in some of our campaigns? You know, we got an election coming up in November for 2018. And that's going to be a building block, we hope, to getting rid of Trump in 2020. But we got to learn a little bit about how to do political work, how to door knock, how to make phone calls. And the more people we can get down to the headquarters this year, the better chance we have next year to get more people down there. So if you get a chance, we'd like you to volunteer.
I'll think about it. My thing is with him, it's so many... You know, he's done so much. By now, he should be gone. I mean, I'm just going to be real with it. If that was Obama, we already know he's gone. He wouldn't even be, he'd be gone right by now. Now, don't get me wrong. Bill, what Bill Cosby did, It's wrong.
It ain't right either.
It ain't right.
No.
I mean, he's gone. He's about to do time.
He ain't got no TV show no more, does he?
No. It's, well,
Trump's on the TV every day.
He's on TV every day, and he's paid somebody off. It's right there in your face what he did to all these women. So
and you know,
nothing's been done.
You know, the other thing I saw on TV the other day that I thought was pretty cool. Donald was trying to hold his wife's hand, and she wouldn't touch it.
Wouldn't even touch it.
Kind of makes you wonder how long they're going to be married. No, that kind of thing, kind of a telltale sign. Who knows?
That's not good.
So, let me see here. You know, the school district is ran by 9 elected people, 9 school board members. And they have elections every 2 years. They don't all at the same time, but they have elections every 2 years. And if we're ever going to get an 8-hour workday for you, which would mean that you work 2 more hours a day, which means you make $4,000 more a year, we're going to have to get involved in electing some school board members that care about working people. Mm-hmm. And we also need to elect some school board members that care about the children in this district.
Yeah.
And if they care about the children, they wouldn't be paying people in this district money where they're below the poverty level, because raising a kid in a below poverty level home is not good for the kid.
I'd imagine.
Now, I don't know if you've heard about this other issue that we're dealing with the school board about, but not a school like this because it's brand new, but any school built before 1986 has lead in the water. Mm-hmm. And when a young kid in an elementary school, and there's 100 elementary schools in HISD that were built before 1986, they come to school and they drink the water, and guess what lead does to you? It makes it so your brain doesn't work as good as it should. Mm. So here we are trying to educate the children, but we're letting them drink lead water. Well, we went to the school board last year to try to do something about that. We got them to test for it.
Okay.
The solution is to put filters on all the water fountains. You'd be hard put to find a filter in any water fountain in any of these schools that we're talking about. So we're going to be trying to get our members not only to talk about that issue, but also talk about getting some school board members elected that care about you.
All right.
And so we'd like to try to get you involved. You know, people join the union, that's a good thing. They join because their friends do. They join because they need some help at work. But if the battle is not also out there in the neighborhoods getting good people elected, we're never going to get to where we want to go.
Right, right.
So it does.
Right. It's no different than electing the judges. And you know, it's just the same concept. I'm thinking what you're trying to do.
Well, we have about 2 more minutes left in this wonderful thing. So I guess the last thing.
Maybe I ought to give me some music radio time. You know, I'm trying to do my music.
We're looking for a theme song for this show. Yeah. So if you can do we're
going to
be getting with you.
I'll get some credit. We'll put it
at the beginning of every show here. Our music being provided by Ralph Price.
I'm going to come up with something and I'll get back with you on it.
Well, okay. Well, you know, we've been doing this interview today. We're going to be doing a bunch more with HISD workers every week. So from deep in the heart of Texas, it's been Oral Fitzsimmons with these two food service workers, LaShawna and Ralph. Until next time, don't forget, and I always say this once a day so I don't forget her. I say my mom never taught me how to give up, so I don't know how. We're going to keep struggling and fighting for what's right and just. And be sure to listen every week.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.